Okay, let us discuss a few ideas relating to Hanukkah. First, let's start with some inyani halacha. This. I have a sefer called Evan Hashayim. It's a very, very, very good sefer. It's on halacha. Lumdis and halacha. So there are two things I want to share with you. One very, very short. What? Evan Hashayim. One is very short yidia. There's a major sugya in Masechta Shabbos, a sugya of Hanukkah that discusses the laws of chshad. In fact, one of the major sources of chshad, suspicion, the yisem nikiyim me Hashem umi Yisrael, is the sugya of Hanukkah. If you pass by someone's house, if someone has two entrances, we don't do this. We're not Israel in this bizman hazeh. If you have two entrances, you al pi halacha mechuyev to put a menorah by both, because we don't want someone to suspect. If you'll pass by entrance number one, they'll suspect. Oh, just like that, he's not lighting there. And just like there's no menorah here, there's no menorah on the other side. And the truth is that's a pillar, because we have a halach, we have a klal yisrael. There's a very important inyan in halacha that you're supposed to be dan. It's called adam lekaf schus. So just the opposite. There should be an exemption. If you have a bias and there are multiple entrances, you should be potter. You should be potter from a menorah. Because, or the rule should be, you can light the menorah in your bias, lechatchila, because no one will suspect you. Because since you have multiple entry points, people will say, oh, he didn't light here, he lit over there. And the people who walked on the other side will say, he did not light at this exit, he lit at the other exit. Yet, Chazal go to extreme measures and say, you gotta cover every exit. And in fact, this is one of the primary sources for the laws of chshat. Don't let someone suspect that you're not doing a mitzvah. Why? Why should it be different? So he has a discussion, a very, very nice discussion, but there's a very beautiful yisoid that he says at the very end, which really totally changes everything. The whole tafkit of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is persume nisa. It's pirsum. Publicity. And if in this, in Bedavka, in a mitzvah, where you're not going public, that's where this chshat. If the stam a mitzvah, did you put on tefillin today? I don't know. How do I? No, I'll be down you lekaf suchos. I don't see on your arm all the marks. Okay? I don't see. You come to shir, you got breakfast, I don't see the marks. Did you put on tefillin today? No. Maybe if you didn't put on this side, put on this side. I'll be down you lekaf suchos. That's because the mitzvah of tefillin is not a mitzvah of persumei nisa. When the mitzvah is to publicize the miracle, we expect you to go out of your way and publicize the miracle. And if you're not publicizing the miracle, indeed the rules of Yisem Nikim Yashem Yisrael don't apply in the same general rules. Yeah.
I saw this in the Flatbush Jewish Journal on the name of Rav Palm. So okay. I don't know if it's true or not.
Okay.
And Rav Palm says that Bizman Azeh, with the Indian is in America at least, that you should do it inside the
right.
house.
Right, B'nai Bais.
And you shouldn't do it the
right,
you
right.
See. You should actually close the curtains because you don't want the guy to see you're making a big fuss with the menorah and you have a big fancy menorah.
This was definitely a hergish that Gedolei Yisrael had. I don't know. I have no idea if it's true or not. This was definitely a hergish that many Gedolei Yisrael had post, who came to America post World War II, 50 years ago.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Don't. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was very machmir not to wear a talis in the street on Shabbos. Today, you walk in Flatbush when it's nice, when the weather is nice. Everyone is wearing a shalom aleichem. Everyone is wearing a talis. There's no big deal. No problem. So would Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky say to, would he have the same objection today? It's a different generation.
A story that happened with us. We had my wife was learning computers, so
okay.
One of the goyim said he wants to come Friday night.
Okay.
He walked into the house, we lived in Borough Park, and he says to me, I see you're not religious. And I said, why? He says, because you don't have a chandelier. So help me. He's walking down the streets of Borough Park 30 years ago.
And he sees the chandelier.
Chandelier up, and he comes into the house, and we had a playing light fixture.
Okay, alright, okay.
So the goyim are very
perceptive. They're very perceptive, that's right. Okay, so it's something that mindset is something that and my grandparents had. My grandparents would share. They were very, you know, you come from here, from Poland, and they were very scared. It was a lot of anti-Semitism. Came to America, it's old, so you took that with you. It's a new generation. Baruch Hashem, the children today have no clue of what life, the Nisyonis, what it was like. And what's the big deal? You walk with your tittis out, you walk with the yarmulke, there's no, it's Shabbos, it's Shabbos, you don't work on Shabbos. You think everything is a given, everything is taken for granted, and everything is an entitlement. That's the key word today. Everything is an entitlement. And it's not just true among religious Jews. This is true among the Goyim, and they're what their grandparents had to suffer for. The non-Jewish children today view it as entitlements. So it's something which goes across the board. So our Pam is saying, I don't know if it's, he said, I have no idea, but my grandparents were like that. Today, the kids that I know on this block, they're not like that at all. It's a whole different world.
That's why you had the Ten Karov Zad Sal you were talking last week.
Right. The Ten Karov, until his last day, his last Hanukkah, he put the menorah on his dining room table. What's the sakana? No one's going to harm you. You're safe over here.
He had that, but he
had Right, exactly. Okay, let's go to another halachic idea. Another idea. This is a halacha. Are you allowed to use them? This is not a gelach l'maisa for us, but it's interesting. It brings out a yisoid relating to Hanukkah. Are you allowed to use in the menorah shemen that is osur behano? There are different types of oil which can be forbidden. Let me give you one example. Let's say the example the place can discuss today uses butter. Butter is a fuel. Butter burns. Is it used for a candle? Such a thing? Yeah, you could use butter. Will actually with a wick. With a wick, okay, whatever it is, certain types of fats, let's say it's kosher butter, whatever it is, certain kosher fuel, and you've cooked it in a milchitika butter, which you've cooked in a fleishitika pot. So the butter, the fuel, is mamish basar b'chalaf, the real deal, not basar and chalaf put together. Bishul, you take butter, which is chalaf, and you actually cook it in a kli that is basar. So what do you have? And there's no bittel. The amount of the butter connected to the pot is not bittel b'shishim. So you have mamish in your possession, a chefsa d'isura, something which is osir behana. Are you allowed to use such fuel as... Oh, that's a very good, he discussed that. That's not what I wanted to discuss. So he basically says, no, not in this. Since it's going to be destroyed, since when you're going to use it as a fuel, he has a whole page on that, you're going to use it as a fuel, burning is not called bishul, it's called maybe frying. He has a whole lot of this, but he basically comes to the conclusion that since it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be consumed in the process, that's not called bishul. So bishlacha bishul will not be an issue. That's a very good point. But let's put that a point aside. Are you allowed to use fuel that is also behind as fuel for your Hanukkah menorah? Another example which the Gemara really discussed is using shemen of truma that's tamei. We have this bezman hazeh. We have truma. Let's say you separate truma, and the truma is so, and the truma becomes tamei. So the truma tamei has to be burnt. It's mechuyev to be destroyed. Are you allowed to derive benefit, mitzvah slavli hones nitnu, mitzvah not given for pleasure? Are you allowed to use shemen truma shenitma as your shemen for ner Chanukah? Another example, let's say you were to have a shemen kodesh that became tame. That's similar to truma. Right, so let's look at these two examples. So l'chayra, the answer would be no. It's not kosher, even though we have a principle of mitzvah slav lehonis nidnu zotait, mitzvah not given for hanoah, and mitzvah slav lehonis nidnu, so what should be so terrible? You need a shear. We have a rule, we discussed this, that near Chanukah, you have to light when at Shkia, at Shetikla regal min ashuk. There's a zman of how long the nerus must be lit, which is a half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. If you're going to light it from the time of Shkia, so it's the half an hour plus until you get to Tzeis. There's a shear. Anything in halacha that requires a shear, a set amount of time, you cannot use Isser Hano. Even though mitzvos lav lehones nidnu, it's not considered you deriving benefit when you use an item that is also behana for a mitzvah, but you still need the requisite amount. And something which is meant to be destroyed, something which is also behana, must be disposed of. If it's going to be disposed of, it exists from now, it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, you don't have the requisite shear the requisite amount. So l'chor, at first glance, we would say, if we have shemen, that is also behana, like shemen that is a product of basa b'cholof, although mitzvah slav lehone snitna would not be an issue, it would still not be valid for ner shel Chanukah, because ner shel Chanukah has a shear of a half an hour, there is a shear, and anything that requires a shear is not, cannot be fulfilled through an item which is also behana, because if it's also behana, it has to be destroyed. If it's going to be destroyed, you don't have the requisite shear. So he says a tremendous chiddush. This is what I want to bring out. This brings out the yisod. Brings out a beautiful yisod in Chanukah. There's no such thing. There's a two. There's a shear. There's a shear in zaman. There's no such thing as a shear in shemen. Tremendous chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush. He's mafrid between the zaman of 30 minutes. That's the zman, and it has to be dolok for 30 minutes. How much shemen do you need? You know, that's up to you. If you use very thin wicks, right, it's a very small amount. If you use thick wicks, but you would think even the thinnest wick, so you can make a cheshus, like half an hour is the smallest amount of time. So l'chore, there's some standard. You go to a laboratory, they'll make a standard. It's near lane, and it has to be near lane I am, presuminisa. So you go take an average, you go bring 100 people into a room, and you take different size flames, and you'll make an average, and you'll figure out certain types of wicks, the thinnest wicks, and you'll come to the certain minimum amount of oil to determine what is the smallest amount of oil for the shear of a half an hour. So the mechaber of this sefer is tremendous. She says that's not called a shear.
Yeah, a hechsher, because it's not the oil that you're interested in. You're interested in the wick.
Because no, the wick, we discussed this. We discussed this last week. The ikar is not even the wick. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if you could have, you can produce a flame without a wick, it's okay. Gas. And you are, the ikar
so
is the fuel.
The ikar is the fuel.
The ikar l'chol adeis is v'lemotu l'pach echad shel shemen. The ikar to minzoicha the neis is fuel. There has to be a fuel. But his mechadish, an incredible chiddush, is that the principle of michtas kisusei shi'ur does not apply when the shi'ur is not in the chefsa. The shi'ur is in the zman. It's just that you need the oil. So basically he says yes. He basically says mitzvah slav lehonestin. Basically anything that's trade, anything that's also behana, seemingly would be, it's not obviously the most important thing to do, it's not the best thing to do, but meikar hadin yotza. Mitzvah slav lehonestinu, it's not called you deriving benefit, and as far as requiring a minimum shear, there is no minimum shear for the fuel. The minimum shear is that the zman, it should be lit for a period of time. It's a hechsher mitzvah, a hechatimsa. In order that it should be lit for a certain amount of time, you need a certain amount of fuel. But that's not the ikar, that's not the halacha, it's the zman, and that's why it would not be a problem. Then it's another very big chiddush. The only time you say the principle of kisuse michtas shi'ure is only that the shear is as if we don't have the minimum shear, is only when you're dealing with something which be'etzem is osir. A chefsa, the example he gives is tumah. You have shemen, let's say shemen of tshuma, and shemen of tshuma is tmeya. So the shemen itself is disqualified. This shemen was meant to be given to a kohen for his pleasure. Now that the shemen is tamei, the shemen itself is a cheftza de isura. It's a severe type of isur. Now, what do I mean? Contrast this with basa b'chalav. Basa b'chalav is not isur. Tumah is not isur. Basar is mutter, cholav is mutter. It's just that being combined together, the Torah put upon it an isur hana. So what he basically does is mechalik between an isur hana and an item that's a chefza di isura. A chefza di isura is where we apply the principle of kisuse michtach shiura, which would be a problem. But if you have milk, dika, you have butter that's been cooked in a pot that's fleishiks, the milk is mutter. The fleishiks is mutter. The Torah was mechadish. When you put the two together, it's also behana. That type of isur hana, the rules of michtas kisuse shiur do not apply. You still have in front of you a shiur of shemen.
So now if you have a metal menorah,
yeah,
and you put inside, let's say it was using a cup that was,
yeah,
used for fleishiks,
yeah,
and you put in the butter to burn,
yeah,
so when you're burning it, you're making basa b'chalav, you're doing the isur in the burning.
So he says that's not called bishul. That's not called bishul. That's not called bishul. Bishul is only when you when the result, you have a product that you have a result. I cook two things together, and when the fire is over, I have a product. Over here, it's gone. What's the product? The product is the light. The light is the davar shein by mamish, and when you're left with, you're left with nothing. That is not in halacha called bishul. So these are two different svaras. The second svar requires more elaboration, which I'm not really clear on. But the first svar definitely is this very powerful chiddush, is that there's a shir in the halakas haneiros, but the shir relates to the zman, does not relate to the actual chefsa of the shem.
So if you put in less oil and something happens and lasts longer, because you had a thinner wick.
Fine, that's perfectly fine. 100%. If you put a thick wick, that's you're going overboard. Bare minimum, as long as it's near lay 9, you have a flint that's near lay 9, that's more than enough. Okay, so these are two in Yoni Halacha, Pesuminisa, with Chshad, and with the Zman. I want to tell you a Dvar Agada. Dvar Agada, I know Rabbi Chol is going to like this, because this the Dvar Agada.
Yeah. Can you use last fiber wicks?
You can, but it's not, the hiddur is to use cotton. That's the
Mehudah. Because that's what they use in the Beis HaMikdash.
Did they? They definitely use linen in the Beis HaMikdash. They linen. So why do we use cotton? It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's mitzvah min hamuvchor to use cotton. Where does it come from? Why cotton, not linen, like the Beis HaMikdash? I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's a mitzvah min hamuvchor to use cotton. That's for sure. Those fiberglass wicks, They're good. I mean, you can use anything you want as long as you produce you have a wick and you have fuel, but it's not mitzvah min hamuvchor. Okay, let me share with you a dvar agada. What I'm telling you now is a combination of two different ideas. One idea I heard from this past Mitzvah Shabbos. I was at a shir by Rav Bezalel Radinsky. He's a rashiva in Muncie, very successful rashiva. So he spoke about sugis from Daf Yomi, and when he concluded as the derech, the minhag in the shir is they always say over Dvar Agada. So I said it was very nice, but I want to combine what he said with another Dvar Agada that I saw in a kuntres, in a safer publication. So one thing at a time. Here's the first part that comes from the kuntres. Shortly after Chanukah, we are going to come to three very tragic days. Ches, Tes, and Yud B'Teves. 3 days. These 3 days on Ches B'Teves, we have a tradition that the Yevanim, this all relates to the time of the Yevanim, they translated the Torah into Greek. The Chazal tell us that 3 days of Choshech descended to the world. Choshech is Yavan. Choshech came down to the world for 3 days. It was a very great tragedy that the Kedusha of the Torah was defiled through the Goyim taking the Torah and believing they had a shlita by translating it into Greek. Okay, then what happened on the ninth day? We discussed this with this. Ezra died. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. It's a gedola. The Ezra died. That's not so poshut. We discussed the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says we don't know what happened because of that thing which was forgotten from us. We went to last year. We discussed this at great length. There's a very powerful shiur from Rabbi Dr. Schneur Lyman, the Makar, that there was a Tana. A Tana went and he was Moser Nefesh to take the Christians away from Yadus in order not, there was a very great Sakana, and in tribute to him, there's a whole discussion. Okay, it's Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say what it is. The Mishnah Berurah says in the Knesset HaGedolah that we have Messiah that Ezra HaSofer was Nifter on Tes B'Teves. Then Yud B'Teves is when Yerushalayim was besieged. Now, in fact, Yud B'Teves is a very, very, very severe tainus. We know that this year we fast even on Friday. Any other fast we would fast, we would push it off to a ahead. Ahead. Well, Thursday you don't go back. You don't bring back only tainus esther. That's a different type of tainus. That's not for etzara. That's a zikaron. So that we go back. But generally, you don't go. You go forward. We would push off to Sunday. But now, when it comes to our sabateves, because sabateves, why? So there are different reasons. There are different reasons why. The simple reason why we don't push off is because it's called schalto diparunosa. It was the beginning, and the beginning is very significant. And then the beginnings have to be established bo bayom. That's one. Another reason why we don't push over is because it is the only Tanus, there are four Tanesin which are presented in Nevi'im, and it only mentions the month. When it comes to Asar B'Teves, the actual day is set. And Sefer Yirmiyah, it actually says the day. The actual day, unlike the other fast days where the month, and being that the month Mikra Adin, you don't have to fast on any particular day. A day during the month has to be dedicated as a fast day, even Tisha B'Av. Doesn't have to be that we fast on the ninth day of Av. Me'ikar Hadin, Hatzoyma Chamishi can be any day of the ninth month. Chazal established it should be on the day when the Beis Hamikdash began to be burnt. Okay, when it comes to other some Gedalia, in fact, we don't commemorate the day when Gedalia was actually murdered. According to many of us, it was murdered Mamash Rosh Hashanah. We wait until the third day of Tishrei, because the Indian is, you have to dedicate a day in the month as its own. You pick the day. Chazal did it for us, and we can't change it anymore. They picked the day for us. But it's not anchored in a specific day. The exception is Asara B'Teves, because the Pasuk actually mentions the day itself. That's one time. Now the Darshanim, or the more, you want to look more than the Kabbalim, they say that Asara B'Teves is a Yom Hadin. It's not just a commemoration. Every Chazal tell us, every generation of Kadosh Baruch Hu judges them, should the Mikdash be rebuilt? Is this a generation that's worthy of Mashiach coming and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? And if a generation fails to bring Mashiach, it's ki'ilu, there was a Beis HaMikdash, and that generation's sins destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's powerful stuff. Scary stuff. Hashem looks at every generation as if there's a Beis HaMikdash, and if Hashem is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash all over again, in just from a different angle. If I'm not going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it's equivalent to having destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. When is that Yom Hadin? Okay, this is a shocking statement. I don't have the Makar for you, but this is what it says in Holy Svar. Svar HaKadoshim, when is that Yom Hadin? That Yom Hadin is Asar B'Teves. It's a very scary thing. Not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was a commemoration. We commemorate the Bayis Hoscharaf. What are we doing about it? Well, we got to do tshuva. You have to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's a commemoration. It's a Yom HaTshuva. Fine, we relive history. But Asara B'Teves is a Yom Hadin. Will I rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? Will it be rebuilt? Because Asara B'Teves is the day when Yerushalayim was besieged. It's a new Aschala. It's a Yom Hadin. Now here's the problem. Hashem does not come against Klal Yisrael with trickery. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Yom HaDin, Hashem must give us a Hachana, a preparation for the Yom HaDin. For example, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah. What do we do to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? We have Elul. Anili Dodi V'Dodili. We have 30 days of Elul. And we have 10 days as Aseres Yimei Teshuvah until we come to the Yom HaDin, Yom HaKippur. That to some degree is the Gemar. Everything leads to that climax of Yom HaKippur. We have a Hachana, we have a preparation. If that's true when it comes to our personal Yom HaDin, Yom HaKippurim, Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, we have a Hakon of Elul, we have an opportunity to prepare, how could it be that we have Asar B'Teves, which according to Chazal is a very heavy-duty day, it's a Yom HaDin, it's the day itself is written, and we never push off this fast day, where are we given an opportunity to prepare for the Yom HaDin of Asar B'Teves, which really is really 8, 9, and 10, these three days of Din, where Hashem will judge us if He's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So the answer is Chanukah. Chanukah is the Elul for Asar B'Teves. Now to prove this point, Asar B'Teves is the 10th day of Teves, and when is Chanukah? The Chanukah really begins not on Chof Hei Kislev, Chanukah really begins on Aleph Kislev. The entire month, the Kiddush of the month begins with the beginning of the month. How many days are there from Rosh Chodesh Kislev until Asar B'Teves? 40 days. Those 40 days really are correspond to the 40 days of Elul until Yom Kippur. Just like we have an Elul, Aleph Elul, you blow Shofar, you get yourself ready for the Yom HaDin HaGadol of Yom HaKippurim. We go from Elul all the way to Yom Kippur. There are 40 days of Hachana. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days in Shemayim preparing to be Mekabel the Torah, 40 days of Tshuva after the Shuras Haluchos. It's 40 days. We're always given a 40-day preparation. The Chanukah, the Kedusha of Chanukah already begins from the beginning of Chodesh Kislev. And that Kedusha is Mamsh Nimshach through Chanukah, and it is our Hachana, our preparation for Asara B'Teiris. Which makes a lot of sense, because what is Chanukah all about? Ozeg Mor B'Shir Mizmor, Chanukah As HaMizbeach. It's the Levim rededicating, re-sanctifying the Beis Hamikdash. Not like Elul. Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Zedu the Beis Hamikdash. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, this is Yom Hadin. It represents a person's personal and Klal Yisrael, are they fulfilling their tafkid? Nothing necessarily to do with the Beis Hamikdash. Asar B'Teves is the Yom Hadin. Am I going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Am I going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? Chanukah is all about the Chashmonoim renewing their devotion and dedication to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So these are the 4 days of Achana for the preparation for the rebuilding of the Yom Hadin HaGadol of Asar B'Teves. Okay, this is what I saw pretty much in a nutshell it's called the Kuntres. Actually, that's what it's called. There's a new publication that's put out by B'nai Torah. It's called the Kuntres. They used to give it out for free, then they charged $1, and now they're already charging $3. It's getting better. It's getting better. They have nice articles. They're coming. It's getting better and better. It's a very interesting little publication. Now, how does that tie? This I think ties in very well into a beautiful avar I heard from Rabbi Sal Radinsky. Rabbi Sal Radinsky, he mentioned the pasuk, the first Brashi in Chumash Bereishis. Amar Yitzchak, Leitzarach Ator Lahaschelela BeHachodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Torah really should have begun with the mitzvah, the first mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chodashim in Parshas Bo. Why then did the Torah begin with Chumash Bereishis? Because to tell us that Hashem created the world, and we should be aware it's Hashem's world, and that we should do, and we should not feel bad with conquering Eretz Yisrael. Hashem decided who to give it to and who to take it away from. He took it away, gave it to them temporarily. They did Averos. Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael to us. Okay, so the question is Rabbi Yitzchak really serious that the Torah should completely omit, completely knock out the whole Chumash Bereishis? Such beautiful stories, such beautiful Musar. What would all the Darshanim do? They go out of business. What would all the Darshanim do without a Chumash Bereishis? To go through all these incredible 13 Parshios, incredible Yesodos of Emunah. What would the Ramban do? All of the Yesodos of the Ramban, Amarish and Chumash Bereishis, not all, but a large chunk of the Ramban's Yesodos for life, he couldn't live. What does exactly mean? So the answer is, this is not only his idea, it's partial, it doesn't mean, Rabbi Yitzchak never meant that the Torah should have completely omitted. It means the order, Ein Muktam Rucha B'Torah. The Torah should begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chodashim. We should start with Parshas Bo, and then at the end, or somewhere in the middle, oh, by the way, let me tell you about what happened in the beginning. Let me tell you about Bereishis. I'll tell you about Noach and about Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and so on and so forth. It does never meant that we should completely omit Chumash Bereishis. It just means the Seder should first be HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chodashim, and then we should go into all of the stories. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go out of order? It's one thing when you have no choice. This Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah always comes. You have to have a good reason why you would change the order. So he says a very beautiful Yisayit. And the Yisayit is, stories are very nice. But if you read a story, you learn about Maase Gedolim, you learn about great people that they did incredible things, and you read the story, and it's interesting, very nice, I have an appreciation, but it's not for me. I'm not shaykh to this. It was for him. It has no meaning to me. It has no lesson, no effect on me. Then all the stories are worthless. Stories of great people only have value when you're willing to emulate them, you're willing to let those stories penetrate your heart, your mind, and change your conduct, your way of life. The concept of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem represents Hischachos, renewal. The concept of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem represents the idea that you're willing to change. You're willing to change your attitude, your conduct, your way of life. if you're willing to change your way of life, and now you learn about Maisei Gedolim, oh, then it's worth everything. Then you're in a frame of mind to be different. Pour it on. Let me hear about the Gedolim. Let me hear what Avraham did, what Yitzhak did, what Yaakov did. Let me hear about their Maisim Tovim, their Midos. I want to be like them. I'm going to change. But if you're not willing to change, it's just a waste. It's lost. That's the deeper message of Rabbi Yitzhak. It's critical that we first are willing to change. We know what it means, HaChodesh HaZelechem Rosh Chodesh, renewal, change. Then we would be receptive to the Maisei Avos. That would have been the ideal. We made a compromise. We didn't do it like that because there was something more important. It was more important that we should know about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and gave us Eretz Yisrael. So the answer requires elaboration. But the Havamin is a very powerful Havamin. And the Musar Haskel is really for this inyan. This is the inyan of the Beis HaMikdash. We're coming now to Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is around the corner. It's Hanukkah ends on the second day of Teves. Only a few days later. It's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. This is the Yom HaDin. It's equivalent to Yom Kippur. It is the Yom HaDin when Hashem will judge the world. Serious business. Is the world, if there was a Beis HaMikdash, would I destroy it again? And the answer will be, if Hashem does not rebuild the Beis HaMikdash within the coming year, then it basically means that we have failed the Yom HaDin. And for that Yom HaDin, we need preparation. We need 40 days of preparation. The 40 days of preparation begin with Chodesh Kislev. When they benched Chodesh Kislev in Mayesh where I daven, they were singing Yivonim Nikvitzu Alai. They were in the spirit of Hanukkah. Okay, that's in the Alpi, all the Mepharshim, that's what it's all about. Chodesh Kislev is all about the Or of Hanukkah begins with Chodesh Kislev. 40 days. And what is Hanukkah all about? It's all about Chodesh. It's all about renewal. Hanukkah means chinuch, it means rededication, it means renewal. One of the gezeiros of Hanukkah was chodesh, mil chodesh Shabbos, renewal. No willingness to renew yourself. The avoda of Hanukkah is hachodesh hazelochem before you come to the Maise Avos, before you come to the rebuilding of the Beis Mishra. These two ideas, I think, really work hand in hand. It's the hachona for the Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin is Asar B'Teves, Chanukah is the Hachana. The Hachana really captures the essence of what Chanukah is all about, is Chanukah's HaMizbeach, it's renewal. The ability to renew yourself, to be receptive, to change, to build a Beis HaMikdash, to usher in the coming of Mashiach. Okay.